pretty much we're going to answer a bunch of questions that are very commonly asked to Christians. So you have friends and family members in your life that ask you questions, and maybe you don't know the answer, maybe you know, you kind of know the answer, and you're kind of struggling with it. So what this series is going to do that we're going to start next week, it's going to kind of help you answer those questions, but it's also going to answer those questions for you, because we have to deal with our culture, and we have to deal with everything that's going on in the world, so people constantly have questions about those types of things. So that starts next week, but today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about work, because tomorrow is Labor Day, and we're going to talk about what it's like to be a Christian in the workplace and how we act and interact. Just a few things before we get rolling. Out in the foyer, there's an offering box in the middle of the foyer there that will go to Samaritan's Purse to help Hurricane Harvey relief. Samaritan's Purse is a Christian organization headed by Franklin Graham. They go down there as first responders to help the people in need, and they also spread the hope of Jesus. But the reason why we support them to do that is because we know that the funding, 100% of the funding, goes to actually help the people. They deploy hundreds of volunteers, and they already have. And actually, if you go on Samaritan's Purse website, I think it's samaritanspurse.org, you could actually sign up and be a volunteer and go down there with them if you have that kind of time to go do that. So that everything that you put in that middle box there in the foyer will go directly to Samaritan's Purse this week. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into Colossians chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I do lift up that devastation down in Texas, Lord. And in many senses, we know how that is, dealing with those things we dealt with during Hurricane Sandy. So I just pray, Lord, that you would just bring comfort and hope to that area, that you would empower the churches to be able to help out and assist where need be. We do pray for the churches that have been flooded out and the communities that have been flooded out, and for those people that they would get the assistance that they need, that you would encourage them. I pray now for today as we look at this topic of work and how we're supposed to act and interact as Christians in the workplace. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to follow after you, to learn what we need to learn, and keep our attention focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Labor Day is celebrated on the first Monday in September. It's a creation of the labor force movement, and it's dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength and the prosperity and the well-being of our country. So we get a day off in celebration of that. And in view of Labor Day, what I want to do is I want to spend our time together studying the biblical perspective of work and how Christians should handle work. Now, I realize here that there are people that are retired, people that are stay-at-home parents. This applies to you as well, because really whatever work you do is supposed to be something in view of the Lord. If you are a child, a student going to school, that's kind of your job. And I just hate to break the news to you, but do you realize tomorrow night's a school night? Isn't that terrible? So you can apply this to school as well. So no matter what age or stage of life that you're in, this will be helpful for you. But you have to know this. We will spend roughly one-fifth of the waking hours of our entire life in the workplace. Do you realize that? From birth to death, one-fifth of your time will be spent in the workplace. So I think it's a worthy topic to deal with, don't you think? It's a lot of time. We all need a little encouragement, a little inspiration, a little guidance, and a little correction when it comes to our work. So we're going to study Colossians 3, 22 through 4, 1, which is a passage primarily about how the Christians in a servant-master situation handle themselves. Now, some have suggested, based on passages like this one and others, that the Bible teaches or supports slavery. Some have suggested that. They are dead wrong, and in fact, they're ignorant of the cultural context in which the scriptures were written. God would never support something like that. Jewish slavery at that time was different than Roman slavery, or even the slavery that happened in our country many years ago. A slave would serve for 7 years, then leave with a payment of some of his master's assets. In some senses, it would be similar to enlisting in the military. There's a commitment and then there's a benefit. You get that? There's a commitment, and then there's a benefit. Paul's intention here is not to change the social norms. Know this. Paul's intention is not to change the social norms. His intention is to teach the Christians how to live as Jesus would live if he were in the situation. Teach the Christians how to act and interact as a Christian, or how to act and interact as Jesus. So for us today, what we're going to do is we're going to apply this to the boss-employee relationship, in which there's a commitment, I will work for you, and a benefit, you will pay me. Okay, that's the day that everybody likes. So today we're going to learn how to act and interact as a Christian in the workplace. So the first thing that we're going to deal with is found in verse 22, and Christians in the workplace should be obedient. Christians in the workplace should be obedient. Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 22. He says this, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." So the first thing that Paul says is, listen, Christians in the workplace should be obedient. In all things obey, obedient to the rules of the workplace. You're a Christian, you have a workplace, you're obedient to those rules, whatever those rules are. It's not whether you agree with the rules or not. If those are the rules of the workplace, as long as they are not sinful and they are not breaking the law, you are to be obedient to the rules of the workplace. This is important, and this really, I want to hit hard on this one. This is very important because if you are a Christian, you are supposed to be a light to the people around you. Now, people are looking at you. If you tell people you're a Christian, they're looking to see if you're obedient. And the truth is your main purpose and your main goal in your workplace, you might think it's just to get a paycheck, but it's actually not just for the paycheck. Your main purpose that God placed you in the place that you're in Acts 17, it talks about this. He places all the people in the place that they should be in order that other people, or that you, should look to God. So your primary purpose as a Christian in the workplace is to actually be obedient to the workplace rules, but doing that so you're a testimony to tell other people about Jesus. The most important thing that we could do as a Christian is tell other people about the love that Jesus has given to us. The fact that he laid down his life to pay the price for our sins, and 3 days later rose again to prove that he was God. The Bible says that all who believe that will have eternal life. Do you realize this? That you have people that you work with that will never darken the door of the church, never grab a Bible, never hear about Jesus' word except for you. You might be the light in their life to tell them about Jesus. So when you're obedient to what's going on in the workplace, people are going to see, okay, that person says they're a Christian. They listen to the rules. They follow the rules. They do what's right. I wonder what else they do, or I wonder what else they believe. And that's where you have an opportunity to share Jesus with them, to tell them that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for their sins. Today, if you don't know that for yourself, you need to realize that it's not about good works, but it's about believing that Jesus is your Savior. We do those good works because God is pleased by good works. We do those good works because it's a testimony to other people of the love that Jesus has shared with us, has given us. And not only that, it's a response in obedience because he's asked us to be obedient to him. So it says, in all things obey. And then it says this, not with eye service or people pleasers, but with a sincerity of heart. You know what that means? Not, oh no, the boss is coming, I better do a good job. Okay, some people think that, right? You know people at work like that. Aren't they annoying? They only do a good job when the boss is around, right? You don't want to be that person. You do a good job because your heart attitude is, oh, Jesus is watching me. I want to please him and do the best job that I can. This will have an impact on your boss, and it will also have an impact on the people that work with you, because people will see that you're obedient and you're not doing it to look good, but you're doing it because God has called you to do that. If there are other believers at your workplace, you can be an encouragement to them. If you're working with a fellow believer, they see your obedience, you can encourage them. They see that you're doing the right thing and they say, you know what, I could do that too. They see your solid work ethic. If you're working with many unbelievers, they also see your solid work ethic, and they see that as a good testimony. Granted, there's going to be some that might be annoyed by the fact that you do a good job and you make them look bad because you're doing a good job, but that's not your intention. Your intention is to do a good job because God has asked you to do a good job. But interestingly enough, he says this, fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. Now, I want to mention something here that's very important. Christians should not be involved in any unethical behavior. When your boss is not around, or even if your boss asks you to do something unethical. Now, this can be very difficult for some of you because maybe in your work environment, there are some issues. Your boss is asking you to do dishonest things. This is what you have to remember. You should not be involved in doing those dishonest things. You still have to answer to Jesus. Do you remember way back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned? Do you remember that? Well, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were to work the garden. So we know that work is something we are designed to do. It's not a result of sin. Work is something God has called us to do. So we understand that. But when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? When God came to them, Adam blamed who? Eve. Eve blamed who? The serpent. Blame, blame, blame. Who got the consequences? Everyone. Adam did, Eve did, the serpent did, and subsequently everyone did. Here's what you have to know. You might say to yourself, oh, the boss has asked me to do it, his company, this and that. It's unethical, it's illegal, this and that. It's his problem. I'm just doing what I'm told. Well, guess what? That's not the truth. It's not the whole truth anyway, because the truth is that you stand before Jesus. If you do something unethical, illegal, or sinful, guess what? You are accountable for that as well. And guess what? Just like we see Adam and Eve, they blame, blame, blame. Just like we see all that, the consequences came to all of them. It came to not only them, but to us. Do you realize that the unethical things that we do at work or told to do at work will have negative impacts on the boss, will have negative impacts on you, and could have negative impacts on other people that don't even work in that company, but maybe have something to do with what's going on? So even if the boss tells you to do the wrong thing, you are still accountable for your actions. Now, I realize this could open a can of worms for some of you, so I want to let you know this is obviously a conversation that you need to have. If you're being asked to do something unethical, illegal, or sinful at work, this is a conversation that you need to have and you need to figure out, because I would never suggest any Christian to continue on in an environment where they're being asked to do something unethical, illegal, or sinful. The next thing in the workplace that a Christian should be is diligent. Let's look at verse 23. Verse 23 says this. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So now what Paul is saying is, do it heartily as to the Lord, for Jesus. In each situation, you need to ask, if Jesus asked me to do this, how would I respond? Or if Jesus was watching me, how would I work? Sometimes we fall into this trap of not wanting to do a good job because of the boss or the manager. You're like, I don't really like that guy, or I don't really like that gal. I don't want to do a good job for them. It makes them look good, or it makes them happy when I do good, and I kind of want to get them back by not doing good. See, the Christian worker should never look at their work like that. The Christian worker should be diligent in everything that we do because we're doing it for the Lord. You get that? Diligent in everything that you do because you're doing it for the Lord. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way. He said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. That's interesting, isn't it? Because most of us might sit back and say, what a menial task, sweeping streets. But here's what King is saying and what the scriptures are saying. It's saying, when you do this diligently, you're doing it for the glory of God. God is pleased with that. You might go to work every day and you might just think, you know what, I just do this for a paycheck. Doesn't seem like it has much purpose. It's a menial task. I don't really feel that fulfilled with this. But know this, when you do it diligently as to the Lord, you are being not only a testimony to other people, but you are fulfilling the purpose that God has placed you there for. You're doing it for His glory. Listen to me. Every job needs to be filled, right? Every position needs, everything needs to be done, doesn't it? So think about this. When you go with the attitude of saying, you know what, this is where I am, this is my stage of life, this is the job I have, this is what I do, you need to do it for the glory of God. Whether you're retired, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, whatever it is, you need to do these things for the glory of God. Whether you're a child in school, you need to do this for the glory of God. You need to do it heartily, diligently, work hard at it. Do you know what the scriptures say, what Jesus says? He says, he who is faithful with little will be what? Given much, right? Given much. Do you know that there are people that sit around and they're like, I don't know why I never advance in anything. Well, part of the reason why they might never advance is because they don't do what they're called to do heartily as to the Lord. They just sit and say, it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to do enough to get by. I'm just going to do enough to get the paycheck. The Christian worker should never look at life like that. We should always say, this is what I'm called to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Think about that. If you went to work with that attitude, think about what would happen each day. Think about the impact that you could have. Think about the blessing that God has stored up for you to give to you or entrust you with even more responsibilities or even something different. The next thing for a Christian worker is a Christian worker should be faithful. Let's look at verse 24. It says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So now as believers, we have to realize this. We focus on the reward. Doing a good job in your work environment may seem thankless, or maybe it might seem to go unnoticed by many people. But the Lord does notice it. And when you do it in obedience and diligently, the Lord notices. And we're faithful to Him when we do it, the Lord notices. He sees those things and they go rewarded. The Lord never looks at those things and says, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. No, He looks at those things and He says, there's my faithful child doing what I desire him to do. And I'm going to reward him or her for that. James 4:17 says this, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin. You know what? This takes it to the next level because you and I know we're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to be diligent. We're supposed to be obedient. So if we know these things, guess what James is saying? He's taking it to another level. If you fail to do it, you're sinning. You're not doing what's right. If you know you should go to work and do a good job and be diligent and obedient and faithful, guess what? You're supposed to do that. Always remember, no matter what you're doing in life, you're serving Jesus. And you know better, so be faithful, and He will reward you. Which brings us to the final thing a Christian worker in the workplace should be, and that is righteous. Let's look at verse 25. It says this, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. The wrongdoer will be paid back. There are two sides of this. You see, the Christian worker needs to be righteous. And there's two sides to this. The first is for us. Make sure you are fully aware that when you do wrong, God does notice, and in this life, you will probably reap some consequences. Okay, you might be getting away with it now, but guess what? If you continue down that road of dishonesty, deceit, disobedience, unfaithfulness, not being diligent, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. So be righteous in all of life, not just your workplace, in all of life, and especially in the workplace. But the other side of this is when someone wrongs you in the workplace, in all of life, but in the workplace more specifically, rest in the justice of Jesus. Things at work might be unfair, but trust me, Jesus will not only make them right, but He'll deal out justice in His perfect plan. So when conditions are unfair, God's not saying, oh, too bad you're not the boss, okay? He's not saying that. He's saying, no, I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. He's not going to say, oh, you know, conditions are unfair, but you don't make the rules, the boss does, sorry. No, he's saying, I'll take care of that. Don't worry, if somebody's doing wrong to you, I'll take care of that. You don't have to take care of it. I'll take care of it. So know that God's justice, he'll make sure that wrongdoing is paid for. That's what the scriptures tell us. And he'll make sure that we're blessed when we do right. He'll take care of us. So know this, every Christian in all of our workplaces should be obedient, should be diligent, should be faithful, and should be righteous. But what about the boss or the manager? What about the boss or the manager? See, the same expectation is on them as well, but they actually have more responsibility than that. Now I'm going to shift a little bit. In this last verse that we're going to deal with, we're going to deal with bosses and managers. Now, some of you here are the boss and are the manager. So you're like thinking, I like this message. I'm going to bring it to my employees and I'm going to play it over the loudspeaker so they could all hear it and become good workers. And I wish it worked like that. I wish just one sermon could change their lives. Not sure that's going to happen, but here's the thing. You might be the boss or you might be the manager. People work under you and you are in charge of people. Now, there was a time in your life when you aspired to that position that you are in, and you may have thought, it must be nice being the boss. Remember that day? It must be nice being the boss. Then you became the boss, and you're like, oh, man, I thought this was going to be nice. I thought this was going to be easy. Granted, now there are some perks to being the boss or the manager, so any boss or manager here could say, okay, yeah, I agree. There are some perks. But you also have come to realize this. The buck stops at you, right? You're in charge. It's your responsibility. When those under you fail, it affects you and what you're in charge of. So you've realized this. And there, when issues and problems come up with those under you, guess what? They're your responsibility. The promised land of being the boss and the manager, all of a sudden, wah, 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 right? Now I have all this responsibility. I remember I was in the bank one day, and there was a woman who was very upset with what the bank was doing with her accounts. And she was talking to one of the clerks, and she was getting very loud, and I was waiting for something else. She was getting very loud, and I could see in the glass room the woman who was the manager. And you could see her like, oh, man. Like, she's, like, writing stuff down and stuff. And then the clerk said the magic word. She goes, you could talk to the manager. She's right over there. Okay? The buck stops where? The manager walked past me, but we were far enough away from the clerk and the woman that was yelling at the clerk. And I just said to the manager as she walked past, I said, it's good to be in charge, isn't it? And she laughed, okay? Why did she laugh? Well, she laughed because in the back of her mind, she knew that one time in her career, she sought out management and thought, this is going to be great until that yelling customer came in, right? Or the 100th yelling customer came in. She probably also laughed because all those under her at times look at her and say, she's got it made. She's the manager. But this manager realized the truth is when you're in charge, you have more responsibility. And although you may have thought at one time it was going to be easier being in charge, you quickly realize that, you know what? Now I'm not only in charge, I don't only have to do all the things that a Christian worker should do, but now I have more responsibility because I'm in charge of people. So in chapter 4, verse 1, it appeals to those who are in charge. So if you're in charge in any area of life, you can get something from this. But if you're a boss or manager, this is so important for you to apply at work. And you know what? You'll bring glory to God when you do this. So let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. The first thing that we glean from this is this. Fairness. Give a fair wage and proper benefits. Be fair. Jesus says in Luke 10:17, he says, a laborer deserves his wage. If you have any control of the people under you's salary or benefits, you need to fight for that. You need to give a fair wage and proper benefits. I know all of you that are working somewhere realize that, you know what, if my boss or my manager goes to it for me and says, like, you know what, this person needs a better raise or more benefits, you're grateful to them, aren't you? You're like, that's a good boss. That's a good manager. They fight for us. They care about us. That boss or manager also realizes this, that when you treat your employees like that, when you're fair to them, guess what? You're going to get better employees. You're going to inspire them to work better because they're like, okay, this person sticks their neck out for me. This person goes the extra mile for me. I'm going to make sure I do that for them as well. So give a fair wage and proper benefits if you have that kind of power in the position that you're in. The second is this, give adequate time of rest. Do you know the Bible teaches the work-rest cycle? Do you remember back in creation, God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested, okay? He rested. Why did God need to rest? He's an all-powerful God. I think he'd be okay. But here's the thing. He wanted to show us that we're supposed to rest. We need time off. That means if you're the boss or the manager, you need to allow your workers to not be bothered on their day off, on their days off. You need to respect their privacy and not bother them. Give them adequate time of rest. You know, I read a lot of articles, and one of the articles I read, it was about successful people. Do you know what successful people found out? That they actually take at least one day where they rest. They turn everything off. They don't answer their emails. They do this. And like everybody's like, this is what successful people do. This is an amazing find. They rest. They don't work all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I know. God told us that, okay? God told us we're supposed to rest. And guess what? When you have a well-rested employee, what happens? They're a better worker. Because that's the way we're created. That's the way we're designed. As the boss, you need to make sure you enable your workers to rest. Some of you have even read like some of these high-rolling Fortune 500 companies have put in like nap pods in the workplace. Have you seen this? And like people at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock when everybody like kind of crashes after lunch and stuff, they're allowed to go take a 20-minute nap. People are like, this is amazing. They come back and they're refreshed. I'm like, really? That's what a nap does to us. That's what it does. It gives them rest. People are figuring this stuff out. Guess who invented it? God invented it, okay? The next is this. Treat employees with dignity and respect. Just because you're in charge does not mean you're important. You're more important. Just because you're in charge does not mean you're important. Guess what? Jesus loves your employees just as much as he loves you. Jesus created them and Jesus created you. You know what? You need to treat every person that you work with, whether they're under you or above you, with dignity and respect. In fact, you need to treat every person, every other human, with dignity and respect. James actually talks about that in James. He says, you know, if somebody comes into church wearing fine clothes and a bunch of jewelry, don't give them a better seat than the guy in rags. Don't do that. Because guess what? Each person deserves dignity and respect. They're all creations of our God. And he loves them. And he was willing to die for everyone. If you get a high position at work, don't walk around like all of a sudden now you're more important. You might be in the grand scheme of the organizational chart more important, but you know what? As a person, you have to realize every person deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, which brings us to the next thing, and that's act like Jesus. If you're a Christian boss or manager, you will be an encouragement and an example to fellow Christians when you act like Jesus. You'll be a testimony to the non-Christians when you act like Jesus. Do you know what the secular world has found out? They found that very successful companies, the CEO or the one in charge, the owner, when the greatest serves the least, they're more successful. Where'd they get this stuff from? I mean, somebody should write this stuff down, right? Obviously, Jesus, the greatest served the least. You know, if you're in charge, you know, never be above anything. Always say, you know what? I'm just going to act like Jesus. He was a servant to me. The God of this universe was willing to lay down his life in my place for my sin and serve me. I should be serving him, but he served me first. So as a Christian boss or manager, think about the impact that you could have on your employees if you serve them. And then finally, he says at the end of verse 1, he says this, knowing that you have a master in heaven, you will answer to Jesus. Your boss, your manager, you're in charge. You might be the owner of the company. You're in charge. You still answer to Jesus. If you're in charge and you still have to answer to Jesus for how you treat people, how are you going to treat them? This is not going to stand up on your last day. Well, Jesus, I was in charge, so I could treat them however I want. So, no. You treat them the way that Jesus wants you to treat them, because you'll still answer to the same master as they will. Don't think that you're more than them, but realize that you still answer to me. So as we look at our work, let's work the way Jesus desires us to work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we spend the next week working, the next month working, the next year, the next decade, the next 2 decades working, that we remember what the biblical perspective is on work, how we're supposed to act and interact as a Christian. Our biggest mission field of our life will be the 1/5 of the waking hours that we spend around other people in our workplaces. So I pray, Lord, for encouragement for all those here that might be struggling with something going on at work. I pray that you would just encourage them that their call and their duty is to be faithful and diligent and obedient to you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just encourage them with those words. I pray for those who are in charge. I pray that you would just help them to be like you in the way that they deal with people, in the way that they deal with their employees. I pray for anybody who's struggling right now because their boss is asking them to do something unethical, sinful, dishonest. I pray, Lord, that you would just help them work that situation out and they would be delivered from that so they can continue to please you rather than pleasing their earthly boss. I pray, Lord, for those who might not know you yet, who might not know the fact that you loved us so much that you were willing to serve us and lay down your life for us. I pray that they would come to know you. I'm thankful again for everything that you've done for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as we do on the first Sunday of every